Well, Happy New Year. And welcome. It's good to see you. You know, you can actually say, I saw this, one of our colleagues posted this, I think, on their Facebook page. If you've been here this Sunday, you've been here all the Sundays of this year. You can claim that for yours. And so if that's a struggle for you, claim it now. Claim it now. Well, Happy New Year. I want to, on behalf of Pastor Sherry and myself, I want to thank you. A little bit of thank you from Christmas. You were generous in your love to us, and we want to just express that to you and just say thank you, thank you, thank you. We receive it, we love it, and we appreciate it. We are both looking forward to what's in store, not only for 2019, but actually what is happening in the days and months and years ahead as we continue to partner together to bring the community, bring the kingdom to the community, and heaven on earth, if you will. And thank you for that. Thank you for that. Well, as we start this new year, we're going to take a few moments on this first Sunday to reflect. We'll be spending some time remembering forward, is what I'm going to call it. And I think that's a scriptural, you don't find that in scripture, but I think it's a scriptural understanding or a concept that comes through. And if you're a guest with us this morning, I just want to welcome you. What a wonderful way to start the new year. There's no better place to be with a community of people who desire, engage, and experience this whole idea of loving God, loving all people, and following Christ together. That's our desire to do, just this idea of living out Jesus' love in our world. So I invite you to remember forward with us in these few moments. Allow them to inform you of maybe where we've been and where we are going. I have a question for you this morning. What have you forgotten recently? What have you forgotten recently? Was it an appointment? A bill? Where you parked or where you placed your keys? Your name or a name, right? To turn off the water? I want you to take a few moments and turn and tell your neighbor something humorous that you forgot. The major ones you're probably blocking for obvious reasons. So go ahead, turn and tell your neighbor what have you forgotten, or those around you who may want to hear that. All right, so a few of you, what have you forgotten recently? Just yell it out. What have you forgotten recently? All right, TJ. All right. Doris. Oh, yeah, that'll catch you by surprise, won't it? Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, so I think we forget often. In fact, Kathy was telling me, I'm going to tell on Kathy, she'll probably get me later, but Kathy was telling me she was at some place and she forgot where she parked her car. Yeah? I mean, it happens, right? We just are in a mode, we forget. I forget often what I say. And I think the reason being, this is where I'm going, the reason being is because the reason we don't remember is because we don't. The reason we do not remember is because we do not spend time actively reflecting or remembering those very things that we are doing or have done. Those things that we're doing or have done. We are so consumed by pace and frenetic pace, continually pushing forward, that we don't take the time to pause. To pause. But why is it that that's the case? There are multiple reasons why we forget. One, it may be the way we deal with trauma. So if you're ever at a family gathering, like you were at Christmas, and somebody says, hey, do you remember? And it's a sibling, and you go, and you were there. You know that you were at that event. You went, I have no idea what you're talking about. It may be, and I hope it's not, but it may be in some of those cases because of trauma. Our minds have this ability to shut down in those places. And so we don't remember because of maybe a God-given safety in our minds that shut it down. I mean, that's a healthy thing. I think one of the other reasons, there are multiple reasons, is selectivity. even when we're in the moment of doing something, we automatically start to filter, if you will. Our minds kind of have this filter, and we go, I don't need that, I don't need that. We don't even actively do it, but we selectively. There's just so much information coming at us all the time, right? There was a kid in my youth group many, many years ago, and you could ask him anything about, any stat about Michael Jordan, anything, I mean literally anything, and you know, he was just 16, 15, 14, 15, 16. You could ask him anything about Michael Jordan, he could tell you, right? He had memorized it, but if you were to ask him about school, what happened that week, he couldn't remember, you know, multiple things. I mean, we have too much and we sift that out. Sometimes it's just old information. A few months ago, I had this filing cabinet that sat in my office, and it sat there with files of papers and information that I maybe once or twice a year I would go and pull something out of there. I would kind of remind myself what was in there. And I think our minds have the ability to just dispense with some old information. It's not that it's not worthless. It's that it's already been filed in another way in our brains, and we then start to file it. Well, I'll tell you that cabinet doesn't sit there anymore. In fact, I think 90% of it went into the trash because it was like seminary, college, classes that I had taken, I thought I would resource, but everything's digital now, and you don't go look for paper anymore. You just go, hey, where is this on my computer, right? And so old information. But I think one of the main reasons, and I said this earlier, one of the main reasons that we do not remember is we have lost the art of reflection. And again, it's our pace, it's our cadence of life that sometimes causes us to move so quickly. The anxiousness of all, if you live in the area, all the traffic will cause you almost to forget that you've traveled a certain distance. I don't know if you were watching the news the other night. They did this thing called, they talked about highway hypnosis, and that you can actually travel for many, many miles if it's something you do on a regular basis and not remember that you've traveled those miles at all. You did it, and they say it's not unhealthy. I like this. They say it's not unhealthy. I would like you to be a little more aware than that if I'm driving around you, but it's not healthy. But we just do not take the time to reflect. So what do I mean by reflect? What do I mean by reflect, especially in light of our world and the way we're living? I mean to contemplate. To contemplate, what are we doing now? What are we doing in the moment? Why are we doing what we're doing? To meditate, if you were to take scripture, it's this idea of not only reading it, but rereading it and allowing it to absorb, to memorize it so that it's part of our very minds and hopefully it sinks to our hearts. The idea of ruminating, I love this one. I didn't grow up on a dairy farm, but my grandpa and grandma had one. And so I know that cows have four stomachs. Did you know this? Cows have four stomachs and they like to chew things for a long period of time. They swallow it, and then they bring it back up to chew on it some more and just to digest it. You have to be grateful if you like milk, you like cheese, you have to be a little grateful that they do this because that's where our product comes from. But reflection, it's that idea that we sit with something long enough that we remember it. And then it not only gets in our heads, but most importantly, as people, as followers of Jesus, that it penetrates our heads and moves to our hearts. And not just informs our behavior, but becomes part of our belief, especially when we talk about Scripture, and especially when we talk about the Word and the ways of Jesus, that we participate in them so they become part of who we are. There are mnemonics to do this. You can look all that up. There are different ways to practice reflection, but I think one of them is addressed by Jesus, at least in part, in Luke chapter 10. It's a story of Jesus and a couple of sisters. Maybe you remember it, maybe you don't. A beautiful story of sisters named Mary and Martha. They love Jesus. In fact, many scholars have come to believe and understand that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were probably Jesus's best friends, some of his best friends on earth. In fact, he would go there and recline often. In fact, they think that this is probably his way of life and his pace and cadence. And their brother, again, you may know this, there's brothers named Lazarus in that story. But in this story found in Luke chapter 10, Martha thought Mary should be in the kitchen helping with the preparations for the meal. Thought that this is important. There are multiple reasons for that. But Luke tells us that instead of being in the kitchen with Martha, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. That she was placing herself in a position to listen, to lean in, to learn, and I think to live a Jesus way and a Jesus model. There are so many things about this. Let me just sidelines for a couple of moments. Can I do that? Sitting at Jesus' feet doesn't seem like a big deal to us here right now. But we're not Jewish women living in the first century, you know, right then with Jesus. We're not. We don't understand it, just like a lot of social things we do not understand. And for a woman to be sitting at a rabbi's feet created a whole stir of things that are not addressed in this passage but are very, very relevant. One is that Jesus was elevating women to the stature of leaders and disciples, where men, up to this point, as a general rule, men were the only ones that were invited into the formal education process in the Jewish structure. This should inform our minds a little bit differently about church and the way it lives, but they were taught this, and the idea that women were supposed to be really just stay in the kitchen and take care of those things. I mean, he changes this. Back to the thrust of the passage this morning. Martha was disturbed by her sister's actions. And she took it upon herself to go to Jesus. Now, this is incredible in and of itself, that she knew who Jesus was, that she loved who Jesus was and was becoming around her, that she would pluck him from what he was doing to get her to do her dirty work. I mean, she probably already applied into Mary a little bit, but took it upon herself to go to Jesus, a friend and a rabbi, and I believe that they were coming to understand and growing in their understanding of the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And she goes to him and says, Jesus, tell her that she needs to move from away from your feet. And guess what he says? Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I think that while there are a lot of things that can be gleaned from this passage of Scripture in Luke 10 that specifically about reflection and the pace and the cadence of our life, he is speaking directly into. Now, Martha was worried about who was at the house and who was going to be fed, and Mary was in tune and tuning her heart to Jesus. And some of us this morning are the same way. We are so concerned about work. We're so concerned about family. We're so concerned about other things than focusing ourselves on Jesus. If Jesus told us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, this is the first and greatest commandment, then that's our first and greatest action. That's our first and greatest belief. That's the thing that we put into place. And yet, many of us, we don't take the time to sit at Jesus' feet, let alone reflect or remember what Jesus is doing, has done, and what he is doing in our midst. And we as a people need to practice the way of Jesus, and the way of Jesus is reflection. And we reflect with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, and we're grateful that the Holy Spirit is our help in this process. In Deuteronomy, part of the Hebrew Bible, we're going to take and dip our toes this morning, often referred to by Jewish friends as the Torah, this Hebrew section of the Bible, we read about Moses giving the final exhortation to the people as they're about to enter the promised land. And I think that this exhortation, just as Jesus' words of subtleness to Martha, is, hey, sit at Jesus' feet, sit at his feet, to stay and listen, is the same thing to listen to our God, to not only listen to our God, but to remember what he has said and to do what he has told us to do. If you remember in Deuteronomy 8, maybe you don't, Moses has led the people through the promise to the promised land, to the edge of the promised land. They are about to enter, and these are notes, if you will, guides, if you will, exhortations, not only from Moses, but Moses becomes this embodiment. It's an incredible thing in Scripture. He becomes this embodiment of Yahweh in front of the people of God on a regular basis. We can go through the details of this, but that's how the Hebrew text reads. It reads as if he is Yahweh, and he becomes this extension. Much like, can I tell you that as you live and follow Jesus, you become that same extension of his word and his ways to the world. You become that powerful one as human to the world. Moses was that in this place. And it says this starting in the first verse, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised you as an oath to your ancestors. Moses is saying so that you may live, and not only live, but if you live according to what I'm going to tell you here, you will increase. You will be fruitful and multiply. He's reaching back into that Genesis passage, 1 and 2, and bringing forth the promise of the covenant that God wanted to place on us and give to us. And in verse 2, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order that you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He says, remember how the Lord has been with you. Remember the testing. Remember all of this. He wants us to reflect. He wants us to spend time reminding ourselves of the goodness. God is so good. I'm going to read verses that are not up here, but I think I want you to listen because I want you to hear what this increase will sound like. He humbled you and causing you to hunger and feeding you with manna. He gave manna when they didn't have their own, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, and walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Listen to the good land. A land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack for nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. You want to live in that kind of a land? Whether it's literal, and it was literal for them, or if it's something promised to us that's figurative, do you want to live in that land? That will lack nothing. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Praise the Lord when you have this. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, you will build fine houses and settle down. And when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. He says, don't let that happen. Allow your remembering to remember where this all came from. Your reflection is that it came not from your hands, but from God's hand, his provision, his grace to you, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpion. He brought you out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You say to yourselves, my power and strength of my hands have produced wealth for me. When we forget to reflect and remember, we start to think that it's all about us, and we start to pat ourselves on the back for our arrogance and our pride. We stand ourselves up against, and when we get to stay in the desert another 40 years, because that's exactly what happened to them after they were brought out of Egypt, pride overwhelmed them, and they got to go another round. A whole generation of people died before they got to enter the promised land. He says, remember. Not remember to dwell, remember because it propels. Not remember so you dwell, but remember so you are propelled into the future. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. And like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. As they're waiting to enter the promised land after they have journeyed out of slavery into the desert, he gives them the words, remember, reflect. Not to dwell, but to propel. For the next few minutes, I would like to reflect with you where the Lord has brought us in the last year. In a specific area of our church, in a specific slice of our church, as we want to dwell in the good land, as Deuteronomy states, as the Lord has promised, we want to remember that we do not forget the Lord and what he has done, and that I do believe that he is bringing us to good lands in the days ahead. So Moses is clear to the Hebrew people about possessing the promised land. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience in him and revering him, for the Lord your God will bring you into the good land. Let's apply what we're hearing to this. Let's listen with the heart of observing and obeying with confidence and clarity what the Lord has said. So a few months ago in a leadership meeting, we were posed with a conundrum we needed to solve. And the conundrum was, you're not going to see the old one, you're going to see the new one, was the fact that our boiler had sprung a leak. And springing a leak on a 50-year-old boiler does not mean that you just bubblegum it, okay? And it was a conundrum. It really was. But before I get into the solution of how this all came about, I want to share with you what has transpired, not just in the last year, but if I may, in the last 5.5 years, give or take, in brief, very brief, as I look at the clock. Over 5 years ago, I heeded the call to come and co-labor with you to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth here in Ypsilanti. Again, this is just a slice of what the Lord has done for us, but it's a crucial slice for you to understand, and I think it speaks to us, as Jesus spoke more about money almost than any other thing. He often addresses the issue of money in our heart, in our lives, and our hearts by providing. So our checkbook at that time paints some of the story and the temperature of the community of faith that had gone through those days. Our checkbook balance at that time was just short of $6,000. That's what I came in under. It was depleted from its historical highs that had seen in the past. There had been years of plenty. And I'm not going to conjecture why that all that is. That's not why I'm here, all right? But on top of that blow balance, there was an indebtedness that had entangled us, limiting our progression of the promises I think the Lord wanted us for the future. It's just as simple as that. When you're indebted, it entangles you. It doesn't allow you to have the freedom to move. You're entangled. So let me go through what that indebtedness was. At that time, we had a line of credit. We owned the bank that was just north of $127,000 associated with the purchase of and some other stuff with a Carpenter Road property. And some of you are like, I don't even know we have Carpenter Road property. You can stay for the congregational meeting later and we can talk about that. We had a pledge that had been made to SBC for a lodge nearly 30 years ago that some of this indebtedness, I'm going to get to the total amount, that some of this indebtedness was based on. There was a Party Road Taylor Church, for some of you, assessment from the conference that was they were unable to pay their bill, and we were assessed across the conference for this bill, and all the churches in southern Michigan shared in this heavy assessment to pay it. These debts and pledges totaled $342,506.74. Now, that might not seem much when you think about it, but it's a lot when you're attempting to move forward and you also have this entanglement around you. In 2015, we received a gift from somebody who had been a longtime member of the church and saw the church as exactly what Jesus and God intended for the church, as a light to the community, and knew that her resources, when given, would be given to continue furthering his kingdom here on earth. And we were blessed by that. We decided at that point, through some great leadership team discussions and contemplations, to make sure that we tithe on that money that we were given. So we tithe a portion, 10% of that amount, to Somerset Beach and that pledge that we were indebted to. And again, I want to reiterate, and we talked about this in several meetings, that through the years that I've been here and continuing, we will continue to fight with integrity to see the best way to use what the resources we have and to see the kingdom go forward. And the desire is not only to stay within the bounds, but to actually serve as Jesus served in a risking and bold way in the days ahead. And so we practice the percentage giving. Let me just talk to you a little bit about this, because this kind of introduces, why would it be 10%? Well, the Bible tells us that as followers of Jesus, that we're granted the great provisions of all that we have. And out of the great provisions that we have, the income that we get, that Jesus desires for us to give 10%, a percentage, of our income back to the church, so the church can continue to flourish in the community, and Jesus can then be spread. His name can be spread. What we find valuable and what we know is valuable to the thriving and flourishing of people all over can continue to be spread, not only locally, but globally. We have missionaries that we serve. So the 10% was not a hard number to come by. It is something that we all, as followers of Jesus, we say that we are going to commit to. It's an biblical obedience. It's just like God's words through Moses to the people. Be careful to observe all that I've commanded. Because when you observe all that I command, there are blessings and benefits, some that you will know, and some that you will not know, you will not understand, that will come from that. They're not always financial. In fact, I would say almost often they're not financial. There are blessings that come because it's the right thing to do, because we're human, not subhuman. We can get into that conversation too a little bit later. But we practice it personally and as a community, this idea of giving 10%. Even in light of the indebtedness, which we released ourselves a little bit, we continue to project forward, moving ourselves ever so forward, carefully, day in and day out, year to year. During the same time, we expanded what was a backpack program into what is Grow You, which has four initiatives. Many of you know what they are: nutrition, education, life skills, and then job assistance. And we continue to expand that. We even began to pay for somebody to help manage, if you will, the backpack packing program during this time, taking it on, knowing that God had supplied and was supplying our resources to that need. We also continue to give beyond, give up and beyond every year to the Jesus birthday gift, which this year was called the Be Christmas gift. And again, I want to thank you for committing to up and beyond your tithes and offerings to giving to the Be Christmas gift. We received a little shy of $6,000 this year that will help us to continue moving forward. Again, if you stay for the congregation meeting, we can have more conversation about that. These gifts that go, let me just explain, these gifts that are brought in for the Be Christmas gift, they are given missionally, locally, and globally. They are not our money. We believe that they are opportunities for us to create mission in our local community and then to give to mission where we're partnering with people around the world. In fact, thinking about just partnering around the world, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but it seems like the appropriate place. In this year, we're desiring to see some expansions in that, and we've already have a new missionary that's come on board. Thaddeus Roller and his wife Nikki are now part of our giving, and we have four people who are going out on mission trips this year. And can I just say, and I'll just tell you who they are, it's Andrew and Dave Richardson and Kathy Gly and Francis Hires. Let me explain. This is exciting to me. It's exciting from this standpoint. Andrew has a heart for renewable energy, and his heart has led him to find groups that allow him to then practice not only his vocation, but his heart, Jesus' heart, in other countries in other ways. And he's continuing to expand that, and Dave is going with him. And I just think that's beautiful. Kathy and Francis are both teachers. They're going to Haiti so that they can teach teachers how to teach better. When Jesus calls us, he doesn't call us out of what we know. He calls us into what we do know to give what we already have. It's an incredible thing, and it multiplies in multiple ways. So if you're wondering, how does this work? Most often, sometimes Jesus calls us outside of what we're real comfortable with, but most often Jesus calls us what we're comfortable with, and he just says, hey, just give it away. Just give it away. It's a beautiful thing. So we're continuing to move in the direction of mission, locally and globally. We'll get to the expansion of Grow You. Coming back to the story, 2006, we were able to complete a refresh on our sanctuary auditorium to the tune of, at the same time, now remember, we're keeping our budget in check, and we're also paying down our debt as we can to the tune of $89,000. You did this. You did this in 2016. At the same time, traveling along, that's not pocket change in my book. I don't know about yours. If it is, we need to talk. I'm more than willing to talk some more. Yeah, and we did this to new carpet, visually to be a lot better, more engaging, all of those things. Thank you. But thank you to the Lord, for he found the resources. He provided all of this. In 2017, we received a purchase agreement for land we owned on Michigan Avenue. And some of you are like, wait a second, we have Carpenter Road, Michigan Avenue. Yeah, we're property rich, as they say. It's near Tim Hortons, Wendy's. It's about a 2.5-acre plot of land, or parcel of land, that we sold at that time. Not at that time. In 2017, we received the purchase agreement, long belabored process. Let me tell you, long and belabored. So 2018, I'm kind of up to where we're at. 2018 became a year of liberation and celebration, and I'm wanting you to join in that with us, to the indebtedness that we had. Did you hear that? That we had. So we paid the line of credit off in full in March of 2018. How did we do that? Well, that money that we owed on that line of credit was just part of our budget. When you gave, we made sure that was paid. And we see to that end in the leadership. In May 2018, after this belabored process of selling that 2.5 acres for $394,000 on Michigan Avenue, we were able to take care of the rest. Now listen to this. The leadership team, in guidance and counsel, we paid off Somerset Beach campground, the debt or pledge in full in June of 2018. There was one debt left on our books after all of this was done. It was the Party Road or Taylor Church, as some of you would know it to be. And through events that only God could orchestrate and did orchestrate to bring the sale about, the church sold the building and the school, giving them great more leadership and ministry flexibility, excuse me. And this brought about the conference to relieving the debt, forgiving the debt that the churches that were remaining owed. So in October 2018, we became debt-free. Yeah, amen, right? It was in October of 2018 that somebody saw water underneath the boiler. Yeah. And through a series of events that we can only say that God brought about, I believe this to be the case, for about 3 or 4 years on the administration team, this is a team that is both finance and property, they would say, what are we saving towards the boiler? We'd say, can we save towards the boiler? I mean, it would just be this constant conversation. And only God can do this stuff. Only God has a way to bring this about. So in 1 year, God eliminated all the financial debt that had been entangling us as a community. And as some of you know, I'm just going to tell a little bit about this. We have been in this building 50 plus years, give or take. In October, as I said, we saw the leak. That means that that boiler was 50 plus years old. When you get 50 years old, you begin to leak a little bit. Don't ask me how I know that. Right? I mean, some things start to break down. And can I tell you that there was a conversation that was had. I'm not going to tell you the conversation, but there was a conversation had at the leadership team. And I love our leadership team. And I love that they tap into God. They tap into the resources of who he is and what he wants to say to us and bring to bear what they know to the best of who we are. And we decided at that point just to take care of the boiler, to just pay for the boiler. Where am I going with this? We celebrate the elimination of all of this debt, all this entanglement. But to what? To what end? We want to be a people that continue to bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven, to allow dreams to happen and some of them to be renewed, some of them to be brand new. In the months and years that we have together to bring his kingdom. Some of you have inquired about the renovating of the lobby. As you know, when we presented the auditorium, the sanctuary space, that was included, but what you gave would not do both, so we decided in one. Well, that is on our docket to not only bring a freshened auditorium, but to bring a freshened lobby space that is more relevant. We have a architect, Wade Hoppe from Hoppe Design. Glad to say, can I just say that Christian man, he sent three of his kids to Spring Arbor University. I'm very pleased to be able to find him and to be able to work with him. And it is our desire, Dave, I want you to hear this. It's our desire. Not to hide this building, but when we do the renovations that we expose the natural bends, it's natural what you build into it. If you didn't know, Dave Crane built this building. He was the architect behind it. And we want to expose it. We want to show it for what it is in the days ahead so our community can see not only what we are doing presently, but what we did historically, what we are as a people. And we want to bring that into play. As I said, we have brought in another missionary to our global partnership, and we're excited about that. And we're continuing to design and desire to see our reach go global, not just to support, but as we've already pointed out, to send people on mission around the world as a way to meet the world and bring it close to us. We're continuing our conversations with fellow churches who want to see change in our community, specifically through schools, because that's our niche. That's the way we're wired, through Grow You, through nutrition, through life skills, through education and job assistance to connect. And we are doing that. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we'll have a conversation with, hopefully, we're designed to have 15 pastors around a table to be able to pray and think and to partner with. We don't use that partner, to collaborate with them so that we can bring what Grow You is. Our tagline says this: strong families and thriving community. Because I think that honors God. That's bringing honor to the city in which we live and work. But the only way we're going to do this, the only way we're going to do this is exactly the words from Moses to the people. And if you may, my words to you, it's simply this: as we continue to pursue God by loving Him, loving all people, and following Christ together, there is no other way that we can do what God has called us to do than that. So what are our next steps? What are our next steps? How do we personally and collectively as a community live out this dream, live out these directives, live out this mission or vision? Can I just say a little bit further about the living out the heart and life of Jesus? I want you individually and us corporately to wrestle with the Word of God as you have never wrestled with it before. Meaning reading it, ruminating on it, and contending with it, and living it out in a way that the world will see that we're the embodiment of love and life that He has called us to be in this world. And that means that we need to meet together in groups and to be together in doing that and individually spending time. We need to spend time in prayer. So I invite you. The 21 days of prayer and fasting. On the backside of this card, it has everything you'll need. 21 days of prayer and fasting starting tomorrow. Has a week of January 7th through 13th, some areas to pray for, some scriptures to look up, and just allow the Spirit of God to direct you. We invite you to join with us, for the future is ahead. We want you to be engaging in the opportunities to learn from God's Word. And I understand that means when we look at what God's Word says, it cuts across the grain of culture. It is not going with culture, it is going against culture. And so one of those ways that may just even as you think about it now, we've advertised it earlier, is Rooted. Rooted is 10 weeks of commitment, 10 weeks that you're like maybe saying, I don't know if I have that to share, of 2 hours spending with a community. For some of you, it's going to be all brand new stuff. For some of us, it will be restoring and renewing and reminding us of what got us to where we are or where we want to go. There are opportunities to overthrow strongholds that some of you are contending with as we meet together. We encourage you to be involved in those. And we want you also to follow biblical obedience in all areas of your life, including financially. As we reflect, remember, and celebrate this morning for God's grace financially, we know that it was due to the generous and faithful giving of all those who have gone before and those who are here now. And we need you to continue to do that so that we can paint the picture of the kingdom in our community, locally and globally, in the way that honors God in His heart. We ask you to join us in that. I don't know what your next step is. That's for you and the Spirit to determine. But if one of those areas pinged you, the Holy Spirit spoke to you, can I just encourage you to take action? To take action. To reflect on what the Lord is asking you to do and then take action moving forward with us. In a few minutes, we're going to sing a song. It's a song, Do It Again. It's the song, Do It Again. We love that song here. God does not do stuff solely and only on His own. And sometimes we think that. He will only do things on His own. That if we ask Him and we just do our own thing, it's cool. You know, He'll do it for us, but we don't have to participate. The kingdom and the community is a participation sport. In fact, that's exactly what Moses was telling the people, the Hebrew people, hey, God expects you not only to remember, but to observe to remember, to observe the commands, to follow, do not forget. He expects your cooperation. He expects my cooperation. And when we do, we can expect to move forward in a way that is thriving, that is loving, that is helping. In fact, starting next week, we'll be talking about, in the sermon series, 5 years from now, the whole idea of where do we want to be? What is it that God is calling us to be individually? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the attention you give to us. It's not just when we need you that you are there, but you're there when we don't even pay attention. And Moses' words just call us out of that. You gave us Jesus before we even needed Jesus. We knew we needed Jesus. Yet, Father, you want us to be in a thriving relationship with you, one that is dynamic, one that allows us to reflect and remember, but propels us into the days ahead. So, Lord, would you help us in this process? Would you help my friends who are thinking about action steps even as we pray? Specific areas where they are being called, would you give them courage? Would you give them the endurance, the perseverance to step in that direction? Father, again, we're thankful for the gift of life. We're thankful for you. We're thankful that we can be a part of this thing that seems incredible, almost like a fairy tale, this thing of the kingdom, yet we're grateful for it. Lord, would you do it again in our midst?